All right, everybody. So we are recording. Hopefully this works and I can share it to you guys later. Honestly, it's my first recording I've ever done in Zoom. Out of all the calls I've ever recorded, it hasn't been a Zoom call. But now I think I stopped sharing, so I'm going to go back and share again. Everybody seeing that?
Yes, it's up. It looks great.
Okay. I'm just going to read through these and then we'll go through them one by one. My name is Christina Sanderson. I can show you my face if you'd like. Hello, that's my background. That's where I wish we were right now. But so anyways, we're gonna talk about the budget and financials, delinquent homeowner accounts, road repairs and improvements, possibly using one trash company for all of us, sending out a welcome flyer for new residents, as well as sending out the rules and regulations. And I'll turn that back on later if needed. So anyway, no parking on streets. Enforcing of that stuff. Equal communication for all residents. We're sensitive to the fact that we are still technically in the middle of a pandemic and, people are on fixed incomes. Regarding increased dues, special assessments, a new four-way stop at Sunnybrook Drive and Suntide Court, newsletters and community updates, trustee positions to be filled, other ways that we've tried to meet some of our needs, website and neighborhood updates, and then the meeting minutes will be shared. So this is a snapshot of December 31st, 2020, and then all the incoming finances as well as outgoing. We bring in, about a little less than $20,000 every year if everybody pays their dues. And pretty much we are, using that up every year. As you can say, if you look back at the website and stuff, you'll see all of these months posted, and it's pretty much what comes in, goes out. If anybody has any questions on anything, as I'm going through it, feel free to unmute. Or put it in the chat. Diane's going to watch that for us. Okay, and then this is the last financial statement from March. And what we currently, or, besides this month, what was going on there. I mean, it's pretty basic and pretty consistent. Things are going up a little in price, but typically it's been like this, same financials, pretty much the same, for about a decade or more, I would say. So right now we have a total of six homeowners who owe, they owe us a total of $13,000, almost $14,000. This has been a higher number in the past, and it's also been a lower number. We do, work. We have city and village tax office, and there are accounting, in and out. That's what keeps us sane and, able to function. They are really an amazing company. Couldn't say anything better about the service that they provide at a really reasonable cost. I think they're probably one of the best in St. Louis. Anyway, so they help us with all of this stuff. And, you know, we place liens on homes as they're needed yearly. And we do also go after, you know, we will, you know, get a lawyer involved and, you know, do whatever we have to do to get these fees reimbursed. So we have had great success with that. You know, we will work with the homeowner and help them get on a payment plan. You know, there's a lot of different options and things that we can do to help somebody get caught up. But any attorney fees or court costs, you know, that is going to end up being the responsibility of the homeowner, even though, you know, we pay it up front. So road repairs and improvements, I mean, this is the topic of the century, right? I mean, this is like ever since I've lived here, since was it like June of 2008, this is the topic. We have had a special assessment in the past, but that was because we had like a collapsed storm drain that we had to fix. So, you know, we've successfully raised money in the past to do projects. So, you know, that's pretty much what we're going to have to do to get concrete repairs. You know, we aren't satisfied with the streets at all ourselves. But, you know, we would rather drive over a bumpy something rather than a pothole. But I mean, of course, now we're driving over both, you know. So, I mean, this definitely isn't anything new. And, you know, we would have addressed it a couple years ago. But it, you know, we had a delay. You know, it's just nobody really wants to do that. You know, we try to avoid it, but there's nothing else we can really do, in my opinion.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So these concrete repairs, you said 75K is the estimate. Is that looking at certain sections of the subdivision, or is it like the whole area under the HOA? Hi. Like, where did they get the 75K from is what I'm asking.
Oh, sure. Yeah, this is Diane. I'll try to help you with that. So just taking an estimate of all the different sections that are patched and are currently crumbling, that will be the estimate. Each section that you see in our roadways is $3,000. We have currently used DuraSeal, and unfortunately this past year we had originally had them to be on site in the spring when it is the perfect time to have your roads repaired. And with the COVID virus over last year, with like all companies, we had waited, and we had been in contact with them countless times to give us, you know, the heads up that they were going to be in our subdivision. And we were just as surprised as everyone else that they showed up one morning on one of the coldest days. And so unfortunately we were not able to fix that, but DuraSeal has been contacted and they are supposed to come back out in the current condition, the poor condition of the that they had made. And if that they do not show back up, which is a possibility, that would just evidently be a company that we would not ever use again. I know they've had a change in management. I don't know if that's the issue or not. I'm not trying to make excuses for them because we take our funds very seriously. And so from here, you know, if we don't hear back from them, we are going to just need to look at some alternative companies. They have done wonderful work for us in the past. So is this unfortunately several factors, you know, made it to where their job they did was not up to our standards, and we will try to fix that.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, did you get, when you got estimates, did you get them from several different companies? And then were you able to look at, like, this one section needs repairs and all of these other sections can probably go another, you know, 5 years without significant repairs? Are you able to do a report like that? Because what I'm wondering is more like, you know, some people I've talked to said, you know, can we do like one section of the road for, you know, like us, like have a plan for it where we plan and budget for it, you know, like maybe a one-time fee that we charge all residents, or is there, have those discussions you've had?
Right. That's an awesome question. It's a very good question. With the concrete, we section out and just understanding that our budget, we have to keep at least $10,000 in there come the winter months. We range from a $3,000 to a $10,000 and sometimes even close to $12,000 for our snow removal and salt. So we have to limit our budget to that. So if we look at a $3,000 per section, it's a lifelong event. So from our standpoint, to make our monies spread out the best we can without having to do a special assessment, we have always done with Duracell, and they've always had an awesome record with us, and they've always come in on the cheaper route. But still having, you know, high quality road work done for us. Traditionally, I mean, when you do think about it, like if you wanted more sections, we can always do a special assessment, but like looking at what we would need, $75,000, you have to figure 25% of our residents, we're not going to hear anything from them. They are not going to donate anything towards a special assessment. So then we need to, that is, those savings are passed on to all the other residents that are able to pay. So we're looking at least $1,000 per homeowner fees to fix our roads without any patchwork. So, you know, just to, if that helps you kind of understand our standpoint, we have to look at the whole picture and each resident, and we do not want to put that type of monetary commitment to our residents at that time. That's huge. We can break it up into, you know, like this year, you know, $500 assessment, or next year, another $500 assessment. You know, we will definitely, you know, take recommendations and suggestions of how you feel it would be best to move forward with this. But we, Christina and I, we have to take into account that not everyone has that ability, and we don't want to, you know, overstress an already ugly situation with a lot of our homeowners. So,
yeah,
you know.
And also, we actually, it ends up, you know, being a little bit of a better rate if you do all the work at once. Otherwise, it's actually a little bit more costly to do it. I mean, it really will, like, once we actually get it all to being nice concrete again, you know, the what we're going to be spending money on after that will only be concrete, right? Once we get all these potholes out of here and nice concrete back in, then the maintenance shouldn't ever turn to just fill in a pothole, you know. I mean, that would be the ultimate goal.
Just to interrupt, it sounds like you're saying there is a plan to redo all the concrete. I guess, so I'm not understanding, like, is there a plan or isn't there exactly?
We're telling you what it is, what we've got going right now. And then, okay, you know, there's still, like, we don't have anything set in stone because we haven't talked to everybody You know, so that's what this is about, just getting the communication out there and then making sure that we have you guys on board with all this stuff.
Right. And so pretty the much. Other thing,
yeah. So,
mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Christina.
No, go ahead.
You know, the other thing, you know, we can consider is if we want to raise our yearly assessment fees to match and meet and go beyond, so we always have these extra fundings, we would have to also pay attorney fees to have all of our documentation and indenture, you know, taken and update it through the attorneys, you know, so you would have those fees, you know, versus mm-hmm. Our assessments we could do in a blink of an eye if you want a special assessment to have this project, you know,
right away. Yeah. So as far as the rules and indentures read, that's mm-hmm. what Diane is explaining. That,
so I guess my question is there like a certain percentage of the homeowners who need to approve a special assessment in order
We just are trying to be considerate of the fact that people, you know, are potentially suffering right now, pretty much, you know, and that's really what it is. That, I mean, Diane and myself or any, you know, whoever is a trustee is the only, you know, they're the only ones that it takes to put into an effect of a special assessment. But we've never done it without, you know, having everyone on board with it. Not necessarily everyone, but, you know, we're definitely wanting to do what everybody else wants to do, you know, for the most part.
Well, I think there's been discussion through the chat that, you know, the county, that's an option that's out there. I don't know if we can mm-hmm. do
yeah,
it. Has anybody looked into that
further ahead in the slides? Those are some of the other ways that we've tried and that we can talk about as well.
Okay.
Is it okay if I go forward or?
I think with two, like Rachel was getting at, is that, you know, sometimes we have to stick with the times and prices are going up, and if we're still doing 200 a year, then maybe we need to consider talking about as a residence, maybe raising that, you know, 10, 15 bucks, whatever. I don't know. I'd be one to get word out there. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. We understand that aspect. The thing that I think Diane was trying to explain about so right now we're locked in at 200 in the rules and regulations and indentures, you know, it's recorded in this document that's 200. So we don't have any flexibility with changing that, but we do have flexibility with adding a special assessment at any time. So it could be small, you know, it could be multiple times a year. You know, that's what's a little bit different with this and why we want to get some feedback as to what everybody thinks, you know, the best way to get $1,000 per home is going to be and what right. kind of time frame.
But if we're as residents, why are we locked in at 200? I mean, I've been part of HOAs before where every year the residents agree as a whole that the price needs to go up to keep our funds where we need them, to have that savings, whatever we need as the residents, they concur, and that those indentures can get changed each year and say, okay, now it's 210, 215, 225, whatever, so that we can meet the times and do these things that we need to do,
well,
not as a huge budget.
I mean, the legal fees really doesn't make any sense to me why they would do that just for $10 or $15 when we don't have to do any legal fees for it's super minimal for the special assessment. I'm not really sure what the difference is, you know, on where, why it
I mean, if,
matter.
If we're worried about fees, I mean, hell, I work at a law firm and I can take it to there and I could get somebody to fix it and complain on our own time. I mean, attorney fees are not for an indenture, shouldn't be that much. I mean, even if we're talking 50 bucks, I mean, it's worth something because it's just that much more per residence. If all the residents agree as it as a whole, why wouldn't we change that?
You should just be able to add an amendment. You should just amend the declarations in that
section. Diane, did you want to interject?
Yeah, if I may, I was just following along with the conversation. You know, when we're looking at having our indentures change, there is, it is a very long process. I mean, not, I mean, without even the attorneys, just within the homeowners themselves, we would have to prepare an addendum, an assessment, you know, for each of the homeowners, and it would have to be voted upon, and we need a 75% voting to for that occur. If the homeowners wish for us to go that direction, you know, maybe amend to where the trustees have the ability to increase it at will. But to me, that is not being a good community service. I wouldn't want to change it that way. And it is.
Can I say, sorry to interrupt you. We went through that process about, 4 or 5 years ago to change the indentures, right, just to be able to add city and tax village and to put liens on the houses. And that took forever to get done. I mean, I'm not saying not willing to do anything, but just trying to get 75% of the up to paid homeowners to approve it.
Right. Yeah, that was
just wanted to say that.
Yeah, that was back in 2013, and it is a very long process.
Just to get people to answer their doors and sign, you know, sign and show up and sign. It was a very hard process. I just wanted you guys to realize how hard it was.
Yeah, and all indentures are written different
now than we used to have.
Right. Yeah, I mean, exactly. You really can't compare one subdivision to the other without really digging into what their indentures say, because they're all over the place.
Right, they are. And ours are our indentures. They're individual, each subdivision, right? And, you know, the structure of ours is just, it works well for our subdivision.
It's very basic.
Yes. Right. Now we do, you know, so everyone, you know, that was not here at 2013 crisis year, we do have the ability as the trustees to get a loan for $40,000 without needing any of the residents' approval. If that's the route you'd like to go, we can do that as well. So, I mean, and then anything over that, we would again have to go through that whole process with the attorneys to get our indentures, the money, you know, that amount changed. Just so you know, you do have the option.
And so that gives us a little bit more, you know, the money up front. And then whoever, you know, we get the loan from is confident they're going to get repaid based on, you know, our special assessment documentation. And that's what we did in 2013. But we also did change the indentures as well at that time to increase the dues. So anyway, we do have options.
I just wanted to throw something out there. And I guess it's because I don't understand all of the legality of these things. But is there a way in which a special fund can be created, which people can voluntarily put money towards for a certain section to be repaired? Is that possible? Is that just too complicated?
That's interesting. That's a pretty cool thought. We'll definitely take that into consideration.
Because I think part of it is just understanding, like, I know certain other neighbors might not have the financial means to help, but maybe some of them, maybe they will. And, you know, maybe people who had financial struggles won't in 6 months and would, you know, like to give money towards something like that. I just, if someone who has more legal know-how knows how to, you know, make that happen or, you know, fill in details, I'd be interested in that.
I mean, if there's a private donor, please advise. You know, they can choose wherever they want to put it. No. Well, I'm just sorry. That was just a cool thought. I liked it. So I'm going to go ahead and go forward. What do you, one trash company, you know, Bob's is, I don't even know if they're in business anymore. but they were one of, I think we've had maybe three or four different companies coming in. And this is definitely a common theme I've heard other homeowners suggest. So
I concur. I'll second that one as a resident. I use American Eagle, and I know that they've stressed that if we can get everybody together as a whole, it'll make better rates. I know I saw a resident the other day that they were complaining about $200+ for waste management, where at least for me with American Eagle, we're at like a $60 to $70 3-month rate.
And is that to pick up once a week? I'm sorry, can you hear me okay? Is that pickup once a week?
Yeah, that pickup is one, it's on Monday, and it does include, we could also do recycling through them too.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, that's a great idea. If we can get everybody on board, we tried that again. Back when, and nobody could agree, and I can't remember. And then also, and you said you had this in your slides for early on, we tried to get the city of Arnold or whatever to incorporate our streets.
Yeah, I should have brought that up first, I guess. Yeah, that's that like one of the last ones.
Whatever we can try. But yeah, the trash, I'd be on board. We use waste management too, and it's so freaking expensive. It's just they take everything, so that's why we've kept with them. But I've heard good things about American Eagle.
No, American Eagle is great. I mean, there was one day that I forgot to put my trash out, and they actually came up to my garage and took my can for me and emptied it and brought it back up.
Wow, that's nice. Great.
Does anybody else have anything positive or negative to say about this?
Well, it sounds like it might be worth investigating, but it might not go anywhere, right?
Yeah, I guess that's possible.
This might be one of those things. I mean, again, I don't know, amendment or something, but if we had something out there as a rule that said, because I think part of the problem is when you buy a house, you're not told that you have to go with this company or that company. So however we can do to get to get it out there that this is the company that we use. That's what we, I think that's what we need to come up with as a whole HOA. Yep.
Again, you're talking about adjusting the amendment or the subdivision amendments, right? So that would go through the whole legal process. And I'm just trying to show, maybe I'm sounding a little pessimistic that we're going to, as a subdivision, come together on this.
Okay.
No, well, I think, you know, as a trustee, you know, we take, you know, what others might think is a little or big deal may not be to the other person, but we do take all of your recommendations and your suggestions wholeheartedly. You know, even when it comes to a trash company, we can always put this out to the other homeowners, you know, to vote on, because we really are very strong about keeping, looking at out for one another, and then, but keeping, us as a community, you know, so this, you know, this is important to you. It's important to us.
Yeah, I personally like this idea. I know my mom's subdivision just did this a couple of months ago, and they've successfully actually done it. And I think they're with American Eagle, the entire subdivision now. So I think it's a matter of getting maybe some kind of quote from multiple companies and maybe relaying that to the members and to everybody, just to see from a cost saving perspective what that would look like to get everybody on board.
Are you all talking about this change being to where it'd be everybody has to use the same trash company, or just giving them the option?
We're suggesting both, but potentially, yes, everyone.
So would it be part of the budget?
Who do you use, sir?
I'm sorry?
What trash company do you use?
Well, I've used waste management ever since I've been in the subdivision. I've been in the subdivision now 17 years.
Uh-huh.
And I've been with waste management. I pay $265 a quarter, but that's for yard waste and and then just general trash. So,
mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to figure out. As a subdivision association, are you trying to say, are you looking at everybody in the subdivision has to use the same company? Is that what you're going to think about trying to tell the homeowners?
Well, we're not exactly sure yet. But that has been a suggestion because we heard American Eagle has better rates, and then we could have less trucks on the road, you know, just one trash truck coming through instead of four. So it's a possibility.
Yeah, but we would make sure that all the residents were, you know, agreed upon that, and we would notify everyone well in advance of something if we were able to come to that agreement. Yeah, so don't worry about
nothing's changing right now.
Yeah, we're not going to take that away from you.
Maybe we can get a quote on if 90%, you know, sign up or something, so that a few of the people who don't want to, we would still be able to get a discount with them or something.
Yeah, I'm sure, and then you never know, you might end up wanting to switch, you know, when you if it is a savings and, you know, if they have services you want.
I'm just looking at it as an individual, when I have a choice to go with the company I want to go with, and now I'm involved in a situation now where people are telling me what trash company I can and cannot use. That's what I'm looking at as an individual homeowner. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people probably look at it like that, you know. Not that I'm trying to stir up any kind of problems or anything, but I'm just looking at this as an individual American citizen that I'm being told who I have to use, you know. And that's just my opinion, and I'm afraid you all might get a lot of those opinions from people, especially people or in my age group, because I am, you know, I am in my mid-60s. So maybe it's because I'm old-fashioned, that's just the way I am.
Well, we appreciate you sharing it. We do.
I think one question that we'd have to take into consideration there is what services does each, home pay for? I don't know how American Eagle is, but I think with waste management, your trash, recycling, and yard waste, they're like separate things you pay for. So how would that affect the bottom line?
I think you would probably have to do your research and have all that information available before you go approach the homeowner so they can make an educated decision and see if everyone is on board, if that's something that we could move forward with.
Right. Yep. Sounds good. So we have some homework to do, but it sounds like it's at least interest. So that's a plus. Okay, so we typically haven't ever done any kind of welcome flyer. It's something that I think is a good idea, and I'm seeing I spelled that wrong. But we can have this happen. City and Village, of course, is involved in every home that is sold, as far as at the closing table, the HOA fees are reconciled through the title company. And so City and Village Tax Office is notified anytime there is a transfer of home ownership. And then they report back to us on who the new homeowner is. And we can have them send a letter, we'll create a welcome letter with our contact information, our suggested trash companies, and, our rules and regulations, where they can find that, our website, because we have heard that for some of the newer homeowners, it's been frustrating not knowing what's going on or where to find stuff.
Very frustrating.
And so then we're going to go ahead and get that going with City and Village Tax Office. And then no parking on streets, I would say, is pr- probably a runner-up in the top five complaints. So this is an ongoing battle. We do send out violation letters, and if it's not corrected, you know, we can enforce a $10 a day fine. We take lots of complaints about this, and you know, so we can address issues based off of complaints and then based off of what we see as well throughout.
Christina, both of those subjects, I've got two things with that. So I think with the welcoming, you know, I think it would be wise for the HOA if you can get some volunteers for like some type of welcoming committee of some sort. It would be nice. And then like maybe somebody from each section of the neighborhood, and they're notified of those new residents and they can meet with them as a face-to-face. That would be something I think would be a great thing so that we can get that information out. And then as far as parking, can't we, if there's parking that, and people aren't following what that is, even if, you know, assessing a $10 a day, couldn't we contact the authorities to ticket that car? Or, I mean, these are our roads, are they not? We're private, area. So don't we have the right to do what we need to with the roads to get them cleared?
I'm not sure about the police ticketing.
Well, the most frustrating one is I'm pretty sure it's residents who aren't even residents of our subdivision who park on the main street at the top where you're blinded by a big bush, and you come around there sometimes and cars are right there, and there's been near accidents or people walking or whatever. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, they are a repeat offender and we don't have the ability to find that home.
Right. So then that should mean because these are our roads, we should have the authority, if I'm not mistaken, knowing some law enforcement myself, friends of mine that's been talked about, that's something that I've asked about.
I mean, I think that they're actually probably kids of people that live in our subdivision is my guess.
No, they are the residents of that home on the end of that gravel road.
I mean,
at least you're suggesting that we call the police on them.
Top of the hill in Brook.
I know we addressed this some years ago. It seems like these are repeat topics, but just to let you guys know, I think we looked into the police thing and that wasn't an option, but we were supposed to be giving fines, and, you know, like Christina said, and if they didn't move their car with it, a warning, if they didn't move their car within 24 hours, then they get fined every day. Like she said, the other option was we were looking at putting fire lanes on one side because the fire trucks come through here and test it all the time, and they were having trouble getting through, especially down here on the S, the bottom before you go to the top of the hill and the three branches. And that never panned out either. I don't know if nobody.
I think the main thing, Nikki, with that was it's the additional cost.
For all the signs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody would be parking.
No, we
on
are.
Side,
that's another topic. Is we're at. We yeah. are doing more signs.
Okay.
But you know, we could potentially try to just get that portion of the street. That very first portion of Sunnybrook Drive is the top of the big hill on the right to be a no parking. I mean, it is no parking, but I mean, as far as like maybe paint, extra paint on the road and extra signage. And then
gravel road, it's already no parking by the gravel road.
Well, technically our streets are all no parking. Yeah. We used to have
emergency
only. We had a no parking sign there, as well as a 20 mile per hour speed limit sign, but it magically somehow disappeared several years ago. But we do have one of the slides ahead is regarding us getting a bunch more new signage throughout.
And if I could add, if you are in any interest in going forward with the fire lanes, we are more than happy to, but because it does make awesome sense, you would not be able to park on that one side of the street. So then those homeowners will be, you know, we give grace to, you know, families, you know, sometimes you just need to park out in there, but like habitual parkers, you know, people parking on the street, we can put a fire lane up, but you have to have a signage every 300 feet. And then, and or you're talking a red paint strip along your curbside all along the subdivision where you want to put a no parking because of the fire lane. But what's awesome about that is, I think it's a safety issue, and I think
absolutely
would have the ability to kind of move this forward if we had some, you know, other residents were, you know, interested in, because I think the parking does, and you know, disrupt your vision.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think this would be, you know, we can put this under a safety issue versus getting a 75% vote. So if you have,
well, this is my first time attending a meeting. I personally agree with that 100%.
Right. You know. Yeah. But like I said, you know, if, you know, if everyone, or most, I should say, here, if they're interested, you know, we can do that.
Yeah. No, I'm not, you're not just talking about coming down Brook Ridge. You're talking about on Klein Smith itself right there on that side of the street where people come up to that stop sign that sometimes is blinded by shrubbery. People parking all along that curb there, correct? As a fire lane?
Yeah, all the way down Sunnybrook Drive.
Right, and Klein Smith right there at the stop sign back to Telegraph.
Yes.
Yep. Correct, okay.
And going down all the way through the S curve, you know, where, you know, down past Sunnybrook Court.
Yes, no, I understand exactly what you're talking about now. I 100% agree with that, and this is my first meeting. Yeah. You know, I got two grandkids that live with me, a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old. Oh, yeah, it's dangerous when I'm walking them up through that area. And I see other people walking up there also. Yes, I agree 100% with that one.
Okay. I think we would have to solve our country.
Now, were you saying you don't need a vote to put the parking signs, the fire lane signs up?
No, I'm thinking we wouldn't, you know, because like I said, I would come in as an angle, you know, it's just, you know, it's a risk, you know, it's a safety risk with those cars parking like that.
And just so you guys know.
And why didn't we do it the last time? It was because of cost?
Right, because the fire district, but being a fire lane, they have to follow all of their state regulations and the county regulations as well. You know, so we would have to buy each sign. We have to buy each post, which has to be 10 foot in length, and we have to bury it 2 feet deep, which would, you know, for each 300 feet that we would have the fire lane. And then that would be, it costs $210 an hour for manpower to bury these signs. And then we would have to keep up with the upkeep with keeping the red paint, you know, the visual of that, you know, we'd have to keep that, you know, painted to their specifications as well. But like I said, the most awesome part of it is that they can just drive through our subdivision to check on, and if somebody's parked there, they're given the ticket, it's $500, and you sure enough will not have a repeat offender after you get your first ticket.
Diane, do you know if it would be possible to get the fire lane in just portions of the subdivision, or does it have to be throughout?
You know, that's a good question. I can verify with them, but my last meeting with them, I was in-
was throughout, right?
We can designate where we want a fire lane. There, you know, they also have you know, new updated their codes for the county, so many feet distance on our roads. Our road widths change from the top of the hill down through Sunnybrook Court Drive. You know, as you come in the subdivision, they're not all the same if you measure them out. So depending upon how many feet, if it's 30 feet, 50 feet, they would have the ability to help us designate that as a fire lane. So those road widths that are like 25, 30 feet, we absolutely can make them a fire lane, just following code.
Okay, we still have a bunch more topics, actually, so I'm going to go ahead and keep moving forward. Just to let you know, we do put communications on our website, but we want to make sure that everybody knows that we will definitely keep also sending things via mail, since not everyone is able to join, you know, via the internet or things like that. And of course, I think we pretty much already talked about this one regarding being sensitive to people on fixed incomes and our, you know, our neighbors, and trying to make any additional money needed, you know, work for people. However, we're able to obtain that as easily as possible. So we definitely are, you know, we've already basically talked about this one too regarding dues and special assessment for the roads. Anybody have anything else they want to talk about on this? Okay, regarding a potential four-way stop at Sunnybrook Drive and Suntide Court. This topic is based on speeding through the subdivision. We've thought about having speed bumps in the past. Really, a sign is a more economical approach. We've also, someone also had mentioned that, you know, what about stopping as you're trying to go uphill during the winter, potentially bad weather, you know, I don't think anybody's gonna, if somebody runs it, I mean, I've seen plenty of people not really stop at the stop signs that we do have. So, you know, if you need to run it for safety's sake, you know, and it's safe, I don't really think that's gonna be a big deal, but at least it will potentially slow people down in the majority of the time. Anybody
have any thoughts? That will be great.
Because of that S curve, I mean, if you're not slowing down or if you're not like being, I mean, you have to be careful of your speed there. There's no other way, you know.
Right.
If it's an icy condition, you don't want to lose control of your vehicle. So in winter, I mean, how fast do you need to be going through there, really?
Well, they come down that hill so fast, it's ridiculous. They've almost hit kids that are out playing.
Well, like my kids being some of them and the neighbor's kids. And so, I mean, for me, it's so disconcerting when you have young children. And I put out slow man signs. I put out cones when my kids are out there. And you will still have people who come out there and they're just speeding through there. And if a kid runs out in the street, you know, that would be a terrible tragedy. And so for me, it's like, this is a no-brainer. How much does it cost? How can we make this happen?
Yeah, we do have other signs in the works. Oh, let's see, where is that?
My concern also is that that intersection is so dark. I know it's expensive to put in a light, but has there been any discussions about that?
No, that's the first I've heard about that one. But do you, I mean, I think a stop sign there at Suntide Court, you know, where you're coming down and have to stop there. Does anybody have anything that, or any reason they wouldn't want one coming down the hill?
You mean a stop sign? Why we wouldn't want a stop sign?
Yeah.
Oh no, I would want one. They come through here so fast, it's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, I think that that's probably going to happen. Diane, did you want to speak to any other signs?
Yeah, I mean, there I mean, we were going to add additional, you know, slow children at play, replace the ones that have disappeared. We've had a couple of them just disappear from sight over the last several years. But also, like I said, definitely adding from Kleinschmidt down, Sunnybrook Tide, and then coming from Apple Valley as well, and then add a speed limit sign there too. But I really like the resident who recommended the light, you know, adding a light. You know, we can definitely look into that. I think that's a smart idea. If you could repeat, where did you recommend adding that light?
My husband thinks that Ameren pays, or Ameren will put it in for us. You just pay for the electricity for the light. I know we've recommended a light there years ago, and I can't remember why it never happened, but I know it's really dark there.
Okay.
I'm just afraid people aren't going to see the stop sign at night. Mm-hmm. You know, not even, I mean, I don't know if they're going to stop during the day there. We'll see, hopefully.
Right.
But at night, it's going to make it. I'm sorry?
Could you repeat where you're recommending that light again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right at the, what's the name of that road there? The cul-de-sac, Suntide the first Court. Street as you come down the hill.
Sunnybrook and Suntide Court.
Yeah, Sunnybrook and Suntide.
Where you're talking about the stop sign. If you're looking at a street light, you know, I've had somebody ask, you know, obviously we're paying for the electricity on our street lights. And this might be a multi-year deal, but, you know, couldn't we look at some type of changing them over to some type of, like, solar powered or some other means that maybe lowers some of that cost? I don't know if that's something that Ameren does, or there's got to be ways that we can maybe lower some of that cost by saving some of that cost, you know, with maybe something a little energy efficient, or like even an LED or something that those get replaced with. So
yeah, as the lights go out, they do replace them with newer. If you see one that's like amber looking, and then it goes out, it's going to look different than when they repair it.
That would be ours here at Suntide Court. Ours is amber looking, and it is hit or miss when it wants to work. But,
and that one, we actually called in with Ameren on, so I'll double check on that, because it should have been. That was the last one that we called in on. So I'll double check that one.
Yeah. Sorry, one other question.
I think that's where the communication, you know, the website, I mean, if there's additional help that's needed, I mean, I'm sure we can get some volunteers to help with whatever we need to help with, to help post or whatever. But I mean, yeah, that's great to know through this, but you know, it'd be nice if, you know, we have that website where we can put that kind of information out there or whatnot.
I just have a question. Are we going to have like a big thick white stripe by the stop sign also to draw attention to stop there?
Good.
Oh, I don't believe we have that anywhere else, so I'm not quite sure. But we are contracting a traffic control company for this work.
So I think that's a great idea that she throws out there, to put a stop line so that it's clear.
Is that something we can get a quote from them installing the stop sign, if they do that as well?
Yes, I can. This is Diane. Yeah, I have talked to them several times, and I can have them online if that's something that you are interested in. And like I said, our cost is $210 an hour, in addition to the sign and the post, you know, to have those. But I will get a separate quote for adding the white line, so it's a better visual.
Yeah, I think it just might help. I mean, I don't know. It was just an idea.
So I think that was Andrew talking about more updates and newsletters and community updates. And, you know, we're definitely up for that. Right now, you know, we have 5 seats and 2 filled. For potential trustees, you know, we're definitely looking for qualities, people that are, you know, working well with others, ready to take on new tasks, et cetera. In that, the whole positions of the trustees will be a separate meeting in and of itself. And if anyone, I know we actually do have a few people that have said recently that they're interested in potential, you know, potentially joining us. And so we are aware of who you are, but we would like to ask you again, if you don't mind, just sending us an email to sunnybrookfarmshoa@gmail.com. And then with your contact information, and then we will get in touch with each of you and get that, hopefully get these, all the seats filled.
So Christina, I have a question. With the number of trustees, we used to have 5 trustees, but that was before we hired City and Village to do the work that they did.
Uh-huh.
Do the trustees still get their dues?
Waived.
Are their dues still waived?
Yep, we don't pay the $200 per year. But anything like a special assessment, we would all pay just like everybody else.
So I guess the only thing I would say on this note is that with the fact that we pay City and Village and they do a good portion of the work, it's mm-hmm. probably not necessary to have 5 trustees, maybe 3. Because
the work is- Right. So like right now, it's been several years with Diane and myself. And so we're basically saving the subdivision $600 per year by not having additional trustee seats, kind of is what you're getting at.
What I'm saying is before we hired City and Village, the board of trustees operated with 5.
Uh-huh.
So now we pay City and Village and they do a good portion of the amount of work. So what I'm saying is I don't believe that we need 5 trustees, maybe mm-hmm. 3, and that additional money then can be
Yeah, I see what you're saying. A couple rebuttals I do have on that I would recommend 5 still is we did have 4 after we had, you know, a few people move on and then a few people came to the team. We had 4. We never had a full crew of 5 and I guess ever since I've been on. And you know, it was, we did pretty good with 4. With 3, you know, there was less time available for extra things that, you know, aren't necessarily required. So while City and Village does do a lot, in a way, I think our subdivision actually requires more just with the times that we're in. I think
with the budget constraints that we have as a subdivision, and we, what are we paying City and Village? Aren't we paying them like a 10% fee? Do we pay City and Village like a 10% fee?
Ellis, if I could jump in here, right? I think the point you're trying to make would make a lot more sense if we had that problem, right? We've only had 2 trustees for...
Hold on a second. I'm trying to understand. What do we pay City and Village? I mean, was it on the financials? I didn't see it, but maybe I missed it. So we're paying them a good portion to do, and they do a good majority of the work. So I guess my point is, I think the money can be better spent when we have all this concrete work and all these sign issues that we're trying to work out, that the need isn't there for 5 trustees.
Dallas, do you understand that there are only 2 positions filled? Right? There are 5 trustees, but only 2 are filled. So we don't even have the problem that you're talking about, right?
But City and Village is doing over half the work now. So that's my point. So I just don't think that, maybe it's something that the whole subdivision can vote on, but I think the money would be spent
better spent elsewhere.
We're talking about $600 and how much someone can bring to the table, I think is well over. It's really, it's a priceless amount that a new person can bring to the table. So $200 is very small.
We missed what the amount of work is, because again, prior to having City and Village, we had 5 trustees. So my point, I don't think you need 5 when you have a company that is doing more than half the work.
Well, if the indentures call for 5, then you have to have 5. It doesn't matter if City Village is doing the work. It's whatever the legal documents of the community state.
Well, I think that could be changed then, because I think it's too much money. I mean, that $400 is $400.
Does anybody second that opinion? Is anybody else worried about the number of trustees that we have?
I didn't think we need to get the trustees filled in the first place.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. There's other problems besides the number
We've always had problems.
Another problem with having less than 5 is people quit. You know, we've had some only join for a few months, you know, and when they quit, they don't easily get filled. So I disagree. I feel like we should have 5.
I'm just going to say it from a visibility standpoint. When you kind of, let's say you become a new resident and you're welcomed and you get this new letter and you know who your trustees are and you can contact them and you feel like you can do that, that's going to go a long way to, you know, bringing all of our neighborhood together. And so in my mind, having 5 who can share the load and also make, you know, these improvements and bring us all together is worth it.
Thank you, Rachel. That you hit the nail on the head. That is
plus everybody has more input and it's a tiebreaker. You know, and I don't think City and Tax does all the work. Don't you still have to contact all the contractors and get the bids and the quotes? And
there's a ton of work that still has to be done. They are our accounting firm.
I think they took the lien. They took the lien part over and all the kind of the legal part. But I think the trustees still do a lot of work. That's why no one wants to be a trustee.
Yeah, the work has actually, I would say, doubled, only because of extra communication. And I mean, I think we're actually might and start something new to where we tell you how many complaints, what we've actually done. I mean, it's pretty extensive. And, you know, Diane and I have really been, you know, we've kept it together, but we do need help. And we do also appreciate everybody's, you know, cooperation and anyone that realizes that all we do is literally take complaints. And still we're here. So
well, I think too, if you can fill those 5 seats all together, then we can get back to where the indentures say that they have their rotating terms. People go up for elections. We have regular elections just so we can keep people in there and fresh eyes and fresh ears and fresh.
Right. And I think another really important thing is just to have a little bit of a background of, you know, all the you guys that are here on the call, you know, you're getting a wealth of information and a lot of background, you know, as to what we're dealing with. And it really is kind of all the same stuff. So we really appreciate you all for coming tonight. Just a couple other topics real quick. We did have a talk several years ago about incorporating into the city of Arnold. It does, you know, it would have benefits, but there also are a lot of hurdles. One of the main ones was we would have to have a 100% in favor vote for that. And that pretty much shut that one down at that point.
Well, then we have a lot of we had a lot of expenses on our roads to get in shape first too, right? Before they would accept us. They weren't going to accept us right away. I thought we had a lot to do in addition to the vote.
Yeah, in addition to it. There was definitely many hurdles. And then regarding Jefferson County potentially taking over our roads, we did submit everything to them, and they actually came back to us and said that our roads met the criteria for them to take them, except for the fact that our roads are considered private. And they, you know, we would actually have to get them dedicated as public. And there's actually no guarantee of the services that they would provide to us right now. We actually have pretty premier snow removal services. Our roads are clear before the main roads a lot of times. So, you know, I'm not really sure everybody, you know,
but they would pick up, don't have any, pick up those,
we have no guarantee on what they would provide us.
Would they pick up those concrete fees though, that we're trying to do a special assessment for if we, you know, if it comes to that?
I'm sorry, can you repeat yourself?
Would they pick up those concrete replacement fees and all that? If that's, you know, ultimately, if it could cost a few legal fees and they would take over our roads, now we don't have to worry about some type of special assessment.
Yeah, it's right now there's nothing going on with this subject. You know, it's something that could potentially be reignited in the future, maybe. I'm not, I don't even know if they're taking people subdivisions anymore at this time.
I understand, but that doesn't answer the question. The question is if we do get them, and get, we'd have to bring that discussion back.
They're not guaranteeing us of any services right at this moment, but the possibility is that they would maintain our roads and snow removal.
Right, and okay, so if we do get them and we do have them as we go from public or private to public roads, that would mean that they would be responsible for the roads and the repairs and all that stuff. That's the question, right?
Right.
They would pick up those fees or those costs.
That's why we were trying to get that to happen. But yep, then we hit a big roadblock. And then another new suggestion was potentially to blacktop the whole entire subdivision. We have about 1 mile of road. We don't, that was a brand new suggestion. We don't have any details on that. And if you, I'm sure hopefully you've all seen that we're at sunnybrookfarmshoa.com and our email is sunnybrookfarmshoa@gmail.com. You know, you can feel free to email us there. We also have a service provider and business listings on our website, and that was another suggestion that we should mention. If you want to update or add something to that, that you can email it to us and we'll put it on for you. And then just so this is on the recording, my computer did freeze on me and I had to stop and then restart. So there is a section that wasn't recorded. So thank you all so much. I'm sorry that it went over, but we really had a lot to cover. We will be recapping all of this and get it in the meeting minutes. And our plan is to meet with potential new trustees in the next couple months and then have another meeting with everyone. And we'll give you some new updates on all these topics.
Christina, I got two short questions for the trustees. What is the status of the mowing of the common areas? Are we supposed to be taking over that as residents? Because especially ours here, the creek area is really overgrown. And if somebody's not coming anymore, we just need to know.
Hi, this is Diane. I can fill you in on that. Once we're just waiting, we have everybody in place just as the years prior. We use two separate gentlemen to take care of the mowing off of Sunnybrook Drive and then along a separate gentleman for along the homes on Sunnybrook Court. We're just waiting for the ground to dry up more. But Ken, he will be back up on Sunnybrook Drive, the fireman. And then Wesley does back behind the common ground, behind the homes on Sunnybrook Drive. But yeah, we didn't let that fall through the cracks. We're just waiting for the ground to dry up enough for them to come in and do their job.
Okay, and then last one real quick. Are we ever going to see the results of the surveys that were sent out, or was this it so that all residents can see it, or, I mean, that's been months now.
Yeah, this was it. This is literally every topic that came in.
Okay. And, all right.
Anything that we do in the future, we'll be voting on in the future. We just wanted to get all the topics out there so everybody can think about it. If they have anything new they want to share, and we'll keep up with communication as well.
I'm just saying, I really appreciated being able to have this meeting, and no matter what happens with new trustees, kind of think this is a good idea to do periodically with open to just the members of the HOA.
Yay, me too. Thanks. I actually, this worked really good. We could also meet in a cul-de-sac somewhere. We've done that in the past, and that's always nice too, to just kind of walk down the street and everybody talk. It might be a little hard on your voice, but we could bring some kind of microphone, or I'm sure somebody's kid has one.
I guess you hit it though. We need to get better communication out there. I mean, if we can get stuff on the website, that'd be wonderful. Word of mouth is always very powerful, but sooner than later, because I know a lot of people have owned their own things that they're doing. So, whenever we want to have one of these again, the sooner the better. That it would be nice for the residents to know so that we can get more people than the 19 or 20 that we had today. So.
Are you sending anything out in mail about tonight meeting, or does everybody just need to get on the computer and get this information?
We're going to go ahead and send it out as well. So everybody has a copy of the meeting minutes. It's going to probably take a little bit. We'll have to make sure that it's, Diane and I will both have to double check everything that gets put onto that. But yes.
Yeah, and then we'll also need to get it notarized, because it will be a legal document for us, and it will be posted.
Thank you all so much, and we'll be in touch soon. And feel free to reach out if you need anything.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Yep, thanks.